Okay, cool.
A podcast about life as an artist, specifically an emerging artist.
The ins and outs, the ups and downs, the day-to-day behind-the-scenes stuff.
The good, the bad, and everything else in between.
All right, let's go. I am buried under mountains and mountains of snow. How about you?
Not super buried, but we were like last week, the week before. Yeah.
It's just crummy out. They just keep coming. And you know what? It's so funny because out here on the East Coast of Canada, typically, like I grew up in Ontario and it was very snowy there and that was common and it was quite cold. And then out here for the past 20 years of living out here, it's like we get snow, don't get me wrong, but it tends to be more mild and it tends to stay green, or I should say brown, like everything's dead, but there's like no accumulation, let's say. But every once in a year we get a year that's like a whopper, and it's fucking this year. It's like every 3 days we're getting like inches and inches of snow.
Ugh.
I hate it. It's the worst. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not my favorite either. I'm ready for spring. I'd like that.
You got a long way to go, my friend. It's just February. Like, I know. Canada, you don't get spring until maybe May.
Yeah, you're lucky if it's like May 2 for a weekend is nice. I just said that very conveniently. Oh my God. Just kidding. May 24th.
May 2 for a weekend. So funny. Okay. What have you been up to this week? Wait. Before we do that,
oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell everybody why we create this podcast and all that good
yes.
stuff?
Yes. Before we get into our chats, before we tell you what we're going to be talking about today, I just want to remind everybody that we are here for you. We make this podcast to help out our community and to teach people things and to get people excited about being an emerging artist. So if you want to go ahead and like the podcast, follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. That way you won't miss anything. We've got a bunch of good stuff coming up this season and we want you to get all of it.
Yes. And so today, speaking of good stuff, we have a special guest. We have Valerie, and I'm not going to say her last name because I'll probably screw it up, but she's on Instagram at I'm Valerism. I'm going to spell it I-A-M-V-A-L-E-R-I-S-M. And she is making NFTs. And so we wanted to get her on to talk us through like her real time experience as an emerging artist jumping into the NFT space. And so we're so excited to chat with her. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're having a digital get down today.
Yeah, diving in. All right, so before we get to all of that chit chat, what did you do this week?
It's been a blur. For the last 2 weeks, I feel like I've been going nonstop. Work has been really busy at the CNC shop, so I have been sanding and finishing my life away.
Can you remind us what does CNC, what does that stand for?
Like a CNC cutting, it's like a computer, it doesn't matter. It's a robot who cuts things into wood and plastic. It's, you know,
I know because I've seen pictures of what you're doing, but I would just like, if anybody's listening and hasn't listened to past podcasts and they hear CNC factory, I'm like, gonna make you sweat.
Yeah, different than that. It is a fun place to work. It is a great team, but yeah, they're doing stuff like molding and millwork and fancy multi-million dollar boardrooms and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, got it. So yeah, that's been busy.
Been doing that. Been also it's kind of application season in the glass world, so been trying to hit all of the deadlines. I've missed a few, but that's okay. I've just been so exhausted. My time has basically been tied up in work and being on the computer, applying for things and doing research, really.
And what about in the hot shop? What about that? Have you been there much?
No, I actually I didn't go in today. I was scheduled to go in, but I on my way to the bus this morning, it's not snowy here, but it is very icy, and I totally wiped out and kind of hurt my back a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I am definitely going to make this worse if I go into the studio today. So made a
Not
positive decision
good.
to not do that. And I'm glad I
Yeah.
did. I feel like I'll be better by the end of the weekend.
Okay, well, that's good. At least it wasn't like gonna put you out for an extended period.
Oh, yeah, those ones are the worst. What
That's
about
good.
you? What have you been up to?
Oh my goodness. Aside from shoveling snow and more snow, more snow, and like the snow that there's today is very weird. It's almost like granular. It's like sand, but it's snow. Like if I picked it
Oh,
up,
I
I
don't
could
like
like
that one
pour it
kind.
like that. Yeah, it's really weird, but it's also very heavy because same thing, like picture shoveling sand, like it's dense. So anyway, so doing that, but then man, there's a lot going on. So for me, January was a good month, but a tricky month because I had family. My daughter and my husband are both at school and work away, but they were both here. And while they were here, well, like specifically my husband was not working. He was like on vacation. And so it's hard to have somebody who wants to hang out because they're on vacation and you're trying to like work and get to deadlines. So January was, I did get work done, but it was a bit stressful in that way. So anyway, part of my stress was trying to get him on his flights in the middle of snowstorms. And so I drove in very terrible conditions at night, and then the flight was
Scary.
canceled, and then we had to come back, and then we had to do it all over again 2 days later. So it's just been like that's the week and trying to get work done in between that. But I did. So I have been painting because a spring is going to be insane for me with a lot of showing, hopefully in person, if you know, pandemic life allows. So I've got to get work finished, and then I also believe that I've shared the information with everybody that I'm now working with a gallery in Toronto, and they are having it's the Petroff Gallery, if anybody's interested, and they're doing a Works on Paper show right now. And so I had to ship them a bunch of prints, actually,
Oh,
is what
cool.
they have for me now. Yeah, so that's good. And then I started a new round of my artist pep rallies, so that's always super fun. I freaking love that. And I have a Wednesday night group and a Thursday morning group, so 12 artists in total, six in each group. And it's just, I learn a lot and we share information, and it's just a really, even though I'm like the host moderator person of these pep rallies, I get a lot out of them. Like I get hyped up because everybody's hyping each other up, you know? So it's really fun. Yeah, so that's sort of where I'm at now. And just really trying to, now that everybody's back, my daughter's back in school, my husband's back to work, it's my son that's here is in school. I'm like, okay, so 10 to 3 every day is like my work window. And so I'm really just trying to be like uber productive during that time. So
Are you
that's
kind of
chill.
like counting back from the days, like when is your like last paint day, last possible paint day?
Okay, so my goal is to get everything finished by the end of May. Sorry, April, because oh, jeez, English, long brain. February, March, April. Yeah. So, sorry, January, February, March. Oh no, yeah, that was it. Okay, I was supposed to get stuff done January, February, March, so that April was my wiggle room month, because the work has to be in Toronto by May 1st, but I have to ship them rolled up, so they have to be really dry. So I'm behind
Wait, are you
schedule.
doing the artist project?
Yeah, I'm doing that too.
Okay.
But that one, so that like it's
Let you off.
it's so insane right now, and that's why I can't, I just have no downtime at all whatsoever. I need to hustle, hustle, hustle and get shit done like you would not believe. So boom, there you go. Now I'm tired. Okay.
No
I'm
kidding.
tired even thinking about it, but no, it's all it's It's all good. It's just,
it's amazing. But yeah, holy smokes. That's two huge shows, and both of them you are featured in. So
it's exciting. It's great. It's exciting.
Do you have like four paintings on the go right now? Are you just like,
I have 1, 2, 3. I have three, like, so I have one that's almost done. I have one that's like 75%. I have one that I just started. And then I have to probably start another one tomorrow. Wow. And then I also have, like, I still have a few pieces that are finished and have not sold. So I will bring those with me to the artist project for sure. The gallery show needs new work. I've committed new work to them. And so yeah. I have a bit more flexibility at the artist project. So the artist project, some will be new and some will be, I painted them last year. So I don't know. We'll see. But then, I mean, again, I'm not complaining, but then I've got people this week. I've had a lot of inquiries about work that I have available. I only have right now 4 paintings available. So as much as I'm like, yay, yes, absolutely, buy one of these originals that I have available. But then I'm like, fuck, if I sell any of those and push comes to shove and I don't get stuff finished, I would literally have nothing to, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm like in this weird limbo land of wanting to sell, but then also like maybe I need to hang on to them until April. I don't know. So
sounds anyway. Like your prices have got to go up or something. Supply and demand, baby.
Well, they're gonna kind of go up because the show in Toronto, they want really big pieces, and so automatically the prices are going to be higher just because of the scale and the size and all that good stuff. So those pieces are going to be significantly more expensive than the 4 that I currently have available. So we'll see how that goes. That'll be interesting too. I don't know how that's going to go. So those will be the most expensive pieces that I've ever sold.
Oh yeah.
If and when they sell.
They're going to sell. You're going to have the best worst problems to deal with.
Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, okay, enough about me. Let's wrap this up and go and chat with Valerie.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so we have Valerie here with us today to talk about her art and experience with NFTs. Welcome, Valerie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming. We're excited to have you on.
So we're going to jump right in. We want to learn a little bit more about you before we get to the whole NFT stuff. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your art practice and maybe then what sort of led you towards NFTs?
Sure. So I'm originally from Austria, but I live in New Zealand now. And I'm doing digital drawings, but I also do acrylic on canvas paintings. And they're mostly surreal, kind of pop arty. I call them scenes of optimism and escapism. So yeah, that's in a nutshell what
love
I do.
It. Cool. So what came first, the traditional art mediums or the digital mediums for you?
Well, very first I did traditional like drawings. And then because I moved around so much and traveled, I started drawing on an iPad because it was just way easier for me to take my art materials and my artworks with me wherever I went. So it was and then now that I'm kind of settled here, I've really had a strong urge to go back and actually to traditional media and actually hold a pencil or hold a brush.
Cool. And like the subject matter that you're interested in, what about that? How did that come to be?
It was kind of always very much of a release for me. So it was kind of almost like a diary of what's been happening in my life. Okay. And then now the subject matter is a lot of like memories. So I incorporate a lot of the toys that remind me of home or of my past. I incorporate sometimes patterns, sometimes symbols, because I feel like the memories just have a very comforting effect on me.
Totally.
So I like doing that. Yeah.
That's so interesting. So now what you're working on, you have a line of NFTs. We'd love to hear more about that. Can you tell our listeners what an NFT is?
Of course. So an NFT stands for non-fungible token, and that might still not mean a lot to a lot of people. So a fungible token is basically something that can be interchanged. So that would be something like a $10 bill is the same as someone else's $10 bill. So you can exchange something for something else that holds exactly the same value.
Okay.
Right.
Or is exactly the same, basically. Something that's non-fungible is something that's not interchangeable, or that's something that's a one-off. So they can be, in a traditional sense, can be a one-off painting, but can also be, your pair of old jeans that's just this just exists as one-off and can't be exchanged for anyone else's pair of jeans. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I've heard it kind of, I've asked around, I've dipped my toes in, I've been seeing what it's all about, and somebody kind of explained it to me in the sense of, like, you know how people collect hockey cards? You know how you don't see any value in those hockey cards, but all of those people do, and they're willing to pay X amount of dollars for it? This is kind of like the new digital evolution of that, almost.
Yeah, because there's also some of them are just a one-off. Some of them, there is like additions.
Mm-hmm. And the other interesting thing that I've noticed with NFTs lately is that some people are connecting them to like real life objects as well. And sometimes I've been seeing too, like, if somebody has a large collection of NFTs that they're releasing, you won't know if your NFT is connected to like concert tickets or a piece of artwork or a piece of jewelry. So it's kind of like a bit like, I don't know, it's like you're getting the NFT guaranteed, but you also might get like a bonus.
Yeah,
you so know, I've seen that a little bit too. So
there's also sometimes what they call nested NFTs. So there's another NFT within an NFT. So
this is why you're here. We're gonna try to like break this down. We're gonna try to keep it kind of, you know, kind of at the beginner level for most people, but anyway, yeah, it can go down a whole rabbit hole.
Well, I
with trading cards, because I've heard that before as well, with any kind of trading cards.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how people are kind of navigating a value system in there. I want to just ask you really quick, which, because NFTs are live on blockchains, which blockchain are you working within?
Well, the most NFTs live on the Ethereum blockchain.
Okay. So kind of heard of that one.
Yeah. So basically you need the Ethereum tokens or money, I guess, to buy them.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that a little bit more. But just before we get into that, because I know you're going to help us like break down step by step, I just want to talk to you a little bit about another thing that comes up a lot when I see and research the whole NFT world, is like talking about NFT and the environment, and how a lot of people are saying that it's really bad for the environment. And I know you and I have had a bit of a chit chat about NFTs before, and it was a really interesting discussion. So I'm hoping that you can kind of share like some of those points that we talked about.
Yeah. So yes, NFTs are bad for the environment because basically to encrypt an NFT, you have to a whole lot of computers have to solve a whole lot of puzzles. And so that requires a lot of electricity, and that is obviously bad for the environment. But there are now other blockchains, like there's a Polygon blockchain, which is kind of a sub blockchain to the Ethereum blockchain, which is more environmentally friendly. And they're working towards a system so that it's not so heavy on the environment. And I think we always forget that anything we do digitally is bad for the environment. Like anything that's stored in the cloud is not actually stored in a magical cloud. It's actually stored in...
using electricity
that take a whole lot of processing power to store. So even I think that's what we talked about, Celine. Like I think if you send or receive 65, that's equivalent to driving a kilometer in a car.
Wow.
And even I read something today that even an hour of Instagram scrolling is equivalent to driving 780 meters in the car. So that's, I think, like half a mile.
Wow. It's amazing. Like, we don't think about that so much. Like, I know it's because I think there's so many questions about NFTs in particular, because they're unknown for a lot of people are unfamiliar with them. And so all this stuff is coming up and the environment is such a hot topic right now. And I know that's a concern, you know, it is a concern for me. And so when I heard that, I'm like, oh, maybe I don't want to get into this space because of that. But then, you know, like as we were talking and looking into the actual impact of everything that we are doing digitally in particular, just enable to just in this instance to be able to compare like NFTs to things that we all do, like send emails and use social media and store things in the cloud, right? Like it's important to understand that that there's a connection to the environment, not just with NFTs but with the digital world that we are inhabiting more and more all the time, right?
And I think the whole NFT environment discussion, actually, it's very good that it also brought that up, that everything we do, just because it's digital and just because, you know, it was always like, we'll stay digital, we're not going to print it, so it's environmentally friendly, but it's actually not that much environmentally friendlier.
Yeah.
Just store your emails online. So I guess it's still better than to print all of them, but, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely challenges.
Yeah, and I think that environmental impact, just from like the research that I've been doing, talking to friends and stuff like that, I think it does vary quite a bit from blockchain to blockchain. Yeah. I had a friend who was telling me about one that is like currently carbon neutral, working towards carbon negative, called Algorand, I think. Algorand. And I was like, oh, I will definitely look into that and do a bit more research, because again, like that environmental thing, you know, I think it puts up a lot of red flags for a lot of people.
Yeah. Which is good, I guess, that people are thinking of that.
Well, just being aware, because the other thing that made me laugh a little bit when everybody was really jumping on the whole, oh, they're so bad for the environment. Well, then you start going down a rabbit hole if you start Googling online, because apparently like art fairs, like the whole what's the one that just happened in Miami, the big Art Basel. And all of the components around everything that goes on during that week in Miami is like super wasteful. There's all, you know, like, so it's like, how far are you gonna, you know what I mean? Like it's such a tricky, it's just a tricky part of the discussion, because as artists, I don't know about you, but like I'm a paint. Well, I know Jade doesn't use paint, but you do and I do. And I know I've heard other discussions just about washing our brushes and putting the micro, like, cause acrylic paint, right? It's microplastics, and you're putting that in the water. And so it's like this, oh my God. So
I blow glass, so it's not exactly environmentally friendly. So
right, like as artists in general, you know?
Yeah. We're all guilty of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, there you go. It's there. It's a discussion. And I guess, like Jade mentioned earlier, there are ways to try to make it more environmentally friendly, but it's just a good thing to be aware about.
And I think that even, like, for example, Ethereum, which is the main currency used for NFTs, there's now Polygon, which is a sub-blockchain that is much more environmentally friendly. Okay. I think it cuts down almost 99% of what's the Ethereum blockchain is using.
Oh, amazing.
So they're definitely working towards that, because I think they know that that's a massive for people getting into it.
Right, yeah.
How do we make NFTs, and does it have to be digital art? That's a great question. Yeah, let's figure that out.
No, not at all. It's so you can just take a photo of your art, because there's photographers there, there's videos, there's music. So you can basically take a photo of your art. Some people film their process and sell that as an NFT.
Oh, that's cool. So
memes being sold as NFTs. There is that tweet that was sold as an NFT. I think Jack Dorsey's first ever tweet.
Okay, so here's a question for you in relation to that.
Yeah.
So when you're saying it doesn't have to be digital art, right? It can be a variety of things. But for those of us who are not digital artists, like myself, and Jade, I'm not sure if you do any digital, well, I guess, anyway, do you do digital art, Jade?
I mean, not in that sense. I use a computer to make some of my art, but yeah, no, not in that way, I guess.
Yeah. So for me, the thing that comes up is like, okay, and if I am taking a photo of a painting, let's say like an oil painting, and then making it an NFT, I still feel a little bit of confusion. Like, what if I, do I have to sell, like, does the person who buys the NFT get the oil painting as well? Or are they two separate things? And then the other part of this that I'll just add before I let you go to town on this question is, like, some people talk, and maybe it's related, maybe it's not, but I'm going to bring it up anyway, because some people are like, well, an NFT is just a digital. What's the difference if somebody goes to my Instagram page where I posted a photo of my painting and they take a screenshot of that? Wouldn't that be the same as if they bought the NFT of that photo of that painting? Does that make any sense at all? Are you getting it? Okay.
Yeah, total sense. Yeah. I've heard that one a lot as well, but I think it's a thing of, like, owning the original versus owning a copy of it. It's like if you take a photo of the Mona Lisa and get it printed, it's yes. like also have it, but you don't own the original. Or if you have someone paint a perfect replica of it, it's still not the original.
Yeah. Sorry.
And the thing about blockchains that's kind of neat is that you can see every single transaction that's ever happened for all time. So in addition to, you know, it just being a JPEG, it is also like a piece of the blockchain. So you'll always be able to see who's had it, where it's been, where it's going to, how much it's sold for. You can get every piece of information that's related to it ever from yeah. that.
Yeah. So you can.
So it's very easy to track.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I guess that's the thing with, unlike a screenshot of a painting on somebody's Instagram, you know, if you wanted to go and sell that to somebody and say, hey, I have this as an NFT, they could check on the blockchain and see, like, no, you just took a screenshot. That's not the original NFT, yeah. correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also like, I mean, people can also steal things and resell them, but, like, you know, original paintings, how many forgeries of original paintings are there too, right? And there's no blockchain to back them up.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Okay. So does anybody else want to chat about some of those big ideas, or shall we, like, get into that? How do we as artists actually do it? And more specifically, Valerie, since you've already done it, how did you like step-by-step go through it? Are we ready for that?
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right. Okay. So go ahead, Valerie, fill us in. What is the first thing we need to do if we are going
to
do it?
The first thing you need to do is you need to set up your crypto wallet. So I'm using one that's called MetaMask, but there's loads out there. So whatever you prefer, you can use.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off one quick second. So you use MetaMask, but how did you decide that? Did you just Google that, or did you talk to artists? Yeah.
So I actually did a NFT bootcamp course with someone called the Artist Catalyst, and he actually often does NFT boot camps, so I'd highly recommend his boot camp. And there was like four sessions, and he just broke it all down for us, and he recommended MetaMask.
Okay, cool.
And that's how I decided. And then you basically set up your accounts, and then you buy Ether with your wallet.
Okay. So why do you have to buy Ether?
Because you need Ether is your currency, so you need that to mint an NFT. I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
I'll do just very baby step by baby step.
Yeah. We have a wallet. We have Ether.
You have Ether. Buy, say, I don't know, $50 worth of Ether. You've got that sitting in there. Then you go to a NFT platform, and there is loads out there, but the biggest one is OpenSea. So with NFT platforms, there's some that are just open to everyone, and there's some curated one or that you have to get invited to. So I don't know, you might have heard of Super Rare or Foundation. Those are some that you have to be invited to, or they're curated.
So you're invited to it, meaning, okay, so you're invited, it's like a curated, almost like a gallery, right? Like you're chosen, you're selected, you're included. But then in terms of people purchasing, can anybody purchase from any of these marketplaces, or do you have to have like exclusivity to get into those?
No.
Okay.
So anyone, so as a collector, you can just jump into any platform. Okay, as a cool. creator, you have to be, some of them you have to be invited to, some of them you can just go on.
Okay.
So the most popular that's completely open is OpenSea. And that's basically where all the, like pretty much every NFT is on OpenSea as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So if you start out, just go with OpenSea, because they're also a bit, like they also don't take any, how do you say?
Oh, like a commission?
Commission.
Oh, okay. So that's another interesting thing, similar to the gallery world, right? Like, so some marketplaces will take a percentage of your sales and some will not?
Yes.
Okay. For good example, to know.
Yeah. So for example, I am on Foundation, which is a curated marketplace, and they take a 15% commission on your initial sale.
Okay.
But they don't take a commission on your secondary sales.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Talk about secondary sales. What does that mean?
So secondary sales means someone has bought your NFT and then they'll resell it for more money usually. Mm-hmm. And so you will still get between, I think it's between 3% and some of, I've heard of some getting almost up to 20, 25%.
Oh, that's cool.
So some of them let you choose the percentage on Foundation. It's set at 10% and you get that in perpetuity. So even if in 50 years, someone sells it for $1 million, you still get your 10%.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's really good, I think, for any artist.
Yeah, I wish it was like that for everything art.
I know, right? Okay, so just to recap real quick. So first, we're going to set up our wallet. We're going to buy some Ether so that we can mint our NFTs, which we're getting to.
Yeah.
And then you're going to...
So then you choose your marketplace. So let's stay...
Right, okay.
OpenSea. So let's set up OpenSea. So in OpenSea, you don't set up an account. You just connect your wallet.
In OpenSea, there isn't actually
like a login or anything. You just connect your wallet and then you're logged into your account.
So how do you do that? Is it pretty straightforward? Is that complicated? Yeah, what's that?
So you just there's like a thing on the top right-hand corner. There's like a little circle. Kind of, you know how on websites, they sometimes have little person icon where you kind of can log in or sign up.
Yeah.
And when you click there, you just click connect your wallet.
Okay.
And then your wallet will prompt you to just click a button saying sign or approve.
And just so I'm clear again, MetaMask was the wallet, right?
Yeah, MetaMask is the wallet. And MetaMask
that you use specifically.
That I use. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm following you so far. Jade, you're good.
I'm good.
Okay, good. Continue.
So then you're logged into OpenSea.
Yep.
And then you can just go to your profile, set up your profile with your name and your bloop, and then you can just start creating.
Okay, so what does that look like? Like, start creating. Is that where you're importing your...
means you upload a piece of art.
Okay.
So then you can upload a piece of art, and that just sits in your OpenSea account.
Yeah.
And to be able to mint it to the blockchain. So basically, that means you stamp it onto the blockchain.
And that's where the tracing starts, right? Like, the minting process is when it's affixed to the blockchain, so that then, like Jade was talking about earlier, people can track like the trading and the back and forth of this NFT, correct?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
And the minting is what costs money. So the minting costs what they call a gas fee.
Okay.
And that is completely variable depending on how many NFTs are trying to get minted at the same time. And so that can be, when I minted my first one, I think I paid $40.
Oh, wow. And my
recent one, I paid $150. So it really...
What?
But even the $150, I remember I kept refreshing, and it went from 200 down to 150 down to... So it's very...
Okay. So that's just going to keep changing all the time, depending on how many people are trying to mint things?
Yeah, and I think it's just gone up a lot because a lot more people are trying to mint things.
Interesting. Okay, and so then is it at all like day of the week? Like, you know how they say buy a flight on a Tuesday, it's cheaper or whatever. Like, is there any of that or have you noticed that
not really. Like, I've heard things like for New Zealand to do it on a Monday morning, but because it's so international and because you don't know where those mentors sit or where those computers sit. It's kind of, so, I guess if you're in a smaller country, it's worth it doing it when it's nighttime for a bigger country. Like, for example, say if it's nighttime for the US, there's probably considerably less.
Right. Okay.
And so then, that's just a guess.
Yeah. So then the other thing that's interesting, though, is that, like, I'm noticing some people, predominantly, like, larger artists with a bigger following or digital artists who are kind of more prolific, let's say, they're releasing collections of, like, 100 or more original NFTs. So if you have 100 NFTs, you're paying, well, for right now, with your example, you'd pay $150 for each 100, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can be a bit of an investment up front, right? Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people do editions. So you can upload one NFT and sell it for however many editions. So
that makes you explain that. One. Sorry, explain that some more.
So it's similar to print editions where you get the same art. There is a limited edition of, say, 50. You can do the same for an NFT.
Oh.
You can upload your NFT and you can say 50 people can buy that one NFT, and then you can sell it for cheaper, but more people will buy it.
Interesting. Wow. I've never heard of that before.
Mm.
So yeah. How many have you done so far?
I've only done two.
Okay.
So I've sold one, and then after I sold the first one, I did my second one.
So what made you decide to do NFTs in the first place? I don't think we touched on that yet.
I'm just always very fascinated by the whole digital space and the new and all of that stuff. And also one main thing was, because I did a lot of digital art, there's never really been a marketplace for digital art. And so you could sell it as prints, but there was never a way to sell the original. So NFTs is a really good way for digital artists to sell original art.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah. So that's really what drew me to it. And yeah. And it's just really cool to have digital art appreciated in the way that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of taking it to a new level.
Hmm. And I think it'll also all, like, with the whole metaverse, it'll all get even bigger. Because in the metaverse, they now have galleries. And, like, if you buy a plot of land, you can have a house in there. And you can hang up your NFTs. And I think if it's an NFT that you own, it'll have a different frame. So it'll really stand out that you didn't just do a screenshot, but that you actually own the original.
So this is so crazy. Like, I was talking to my son the other day, because I love, everybody knows I love social media, and I was watching TikToks, and there was somebody talking about his company and how they have a whole metaverse for his, like, some random, like an insurance broker or something, like some random thing. But he's like, we have meeting rooms and we have this. And he's like walking you through their office metaverse. And I was just like sitting there and my son was there, and I'm like, this is so freaking weird. Like when I was growing up, it was the Jetsons, you know, and now a lot of the stuff in the Jetsons is real. Like I was saying to him, like, I was mind blown by, like, video calls on the Jetsons, and now it's like a thing. So, you know, but then I can only imagine, like, my grandmother who died at 101, and I'm like, there were no cars when she was born. Like, imagine. It's so mind blowing if you sit and you actually think about it. And it can be scary. Like, I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I mean, even me still, and I've researched it and I've listened to podcasts and I talked with you, Valerie, and I'm like, I'm trying my best to, like, wrap my head and get on board, but it's still kind of, like, weird and maybe scary even to some people, depending on your mindset, right? Like, it's very interesting and bizarre. Like,
yeah, because it's all decentralized. So they, like, a lot of people are talking about basically being the Wild West. There's no... Right. Yeah, there's no real rules, I guess.
Yeah, but then even, like, right, with
yourself and
and with Bitcoin and the blockchain and all that stuff, and I still, you know, again, wrapping my head around that. But then I remember learning, you know, way back when I was young, how people just bartered for everything and they traded rocks. And, like, imagine when money came in and I was like, oh, that paper stuff, that's not going to stick around. I'm sticking with my rocks or whatever, you know, like, it's the same sort of thing. So,
I heard an interesting thing. Somebody was talking about, like, you know, Facebook, aka Meta, now is so invested in these digital futures in the metaverse that, like, people who say, like, oh, cryptocurrency is going to fail, and it's like the richest people in the world want it to succeed. So yeah. there's a pretty good chance that it may succeed, that it may stick around.
Yeah, I can't see it going anywhere. But it's yeah. Like, do you remember Second Life?
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, I remember people also would earn a lot of money in Second Life and would have, like, sell artwork, sell clothes, sell, like, furniture, and actually yes. make real money in there. And I don't know why that disappeared, but then, like, with the metaverse, it's kind of similar because you can also buy clothes there.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so that, we're off on a tangent now, but I listened to so many podcasts. I can't remember which one I heard this one on, but it was an interesting podcast because they were talking about this game that a lot of gamers were playing because it kind of reminded them of, like, old school games. Like, it was kind of simple. It was like slaying dragons and stuff, but it wasn't, like, so complicated like some of the newer ones. But then all of a sudden, it got really, like, this in the game got really crowded with these people that were, like, just slaying the dragon. They did nothing else. They didn't actually engage in any aspects of the game. They were just killing dragons because you got some coins when you killed the dragons. And what happened was the people in an underdeveloped country, and I can't remember which one, could get on this game because the graphics were pretty simple, unlike a lot of the complicated ones. And they discovered that if they just slayed dragons all day, they would build this fake, quote, fake money in the game. But then diehards in North America who wanted to level up in the game and get this potion and that and blah, 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 would buy the fake money from these people. And so it became real money in real life and an industry for this people in this country who that was like their job. They would sit on their computer and slay these fake dragons. But it was messing up the whole game. Like, it was so... It's such a weird mashup. I know, right? Of, like, this, quote, fake world that actually translated into the real world. And then it all came to a head when, again, I can't remember the country or the podcast, so forgive me if you really wanted to hear this podcast because it was very interesting. But anyway, it all came to a head because this country had, like, massive blackouts for days. And so then all the North Americans playing this game are like, wait a second, it's so empty in here. Where did everybody go? They couldn't get online anymore. Like, that was, like, such an aha moment for me of, like, how intertwined, like, real life and this, quote, fake life or metaverse or crypto world. Like, I don't even know what the proper term for that whole other space is because there's so much to it nowadays. But anyway, all of that and it's like a mashup.
Yeah, I think there's also a lot of games in the metaverse that people play where you can win certain things, certain variables or NFTs. Totally. Yeah, or collect them. Yeah. It's so interesting. I wonder if in 10 years we'll meet in the metaverse and have this chat again.
Yeah, no kidding. This gives me, like, I oscillate between, like, okay, I'm okay with this to, like, extreme amounts of existential dread talking about the metaverse. I'm like, yeah, this is fine. To, like, oh my god, are we real? Do we exist? Yes. Are we real? Are we in the metaverse already?
Yeah, we could be.
We would never know.
We would never know. Did you guys ever watch The Truman Show way back in the day?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that? How the whole world was fake and it was a big bubble? Like, what if we are all in the bubble?
Oh, we really might be.
We might be.
It's a scary thought. Where's the wall?
Yeah, where's the wall? Oh my god. Okay, anyway. All right, let's rein it in. Okay, so back to the actual selling process. Okay, so you did all the things, you minted it. You sold it. Okay, so let's talk about the difference between having, like, an auction or a fixed price for your NFT.
So some OpenSea allows you to choose. Foundation always does auctions.
Okay, so in your experience when you sold, do you prefer one over the other, or how do you?
I actually would prefer just a fixed price. But I guess it's like if it's an auction, I think because I don't have such a big following yet, an auction. Mm-hmm. Mean anything, it's just like the first person that buys it just gets it 24 hours later. You just have to wait.
Right.
It was more for the guy that bought it. It was like, I think he was a bit stressed. He was like, what do you mean I have to wait for 24 hours? It's an auction. So I don't own it yet.
Oh, wait. So talk a little bit more about that.
About the selling process?
Yeah. So like how you said he had to wait 24 hours. So because it was auction.
Yeah. So once a bid is put in, so you set your price. Yeah. So for example, I set my price at 0.2 Ether.
Okay.
And so he put a bid in for 0.2 Ether, and then the clock starts. And then once the clock starts, other people can go in and say, I bid 0.21 Ether.
Oh,
just okay. Outbid the original buyer.
And is it always 24 hours?
It's always on Foundation. It's always 24 hours. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. It puts a little bit of urgency there.
Yeah. Like, okay. So, yeah. So I probably, I should, once the auction started, I should maybe have sent out a newsletter saying, now. But I also didn't, I knew the person that bought it really wanted it. So I was like, I'm just not going to say anything.
Right. And so then, okay, so that, but then you said on OpenSea, you can do a fixed price?
Yeah, on OpenSea, you can do a fixed price.
Okay, interesting.
So you can choose. So it's really whatever you prefer.
Hmm. Okay.
And I think on Foundation, I haven't tried that yet, but I've heard there's also a way that you can put an auction, but you can have it hidden. So you can, if you know.
Oh, like private auction.
Just hide it and sell it and no one sees the auction. Yeah, kind of like that.
Oh, okay.
Which kind
so
of
if you just want it for like. Well, if you had like your subscriber list and you just wanted them to be able to use it, could you just send them the link and then they could see it but not the general public, that kind of thing?
Well, I think, yeah, I've heard that there is a way to send a private link, but I haven't tried that out, because at the moment as soon as you mint it and put it up for sale, mm-hmm. everyone can see it.
Okay, all right, so what about selling it? So you said you did sell the first one that you made available. So talk to us about how that came to be, and do you have any, like, how would you market these, or how have you marketed the one that
well,
you sold?
I marketed it on, so I sent it out in my newsletter, I marketed it on Instagram, on Facebook, and I ended up selling it actually to a friend, because I find that a lot with other art that I sell as well, like the more you talk to people about it, the more people know about it, and then mm-hmm. people get interested, because he was already interested in NFTs, and then he had already heard that I released an NFT, but I think, yeah, he didn't quite know how to do it, so it was quite good that I kind of was able to help him through the process of buying it.
So you didn't have any, like, fancy, because I see, again, because I'm, like, trying to get my head into this whole space, I see people talking about, oh, you have to be in communities on Twitter, and you have to do this, you have to do that, and you found that you didn't have to do any of that, you just used your Instagram and your email list and, you know, word of mouth, and that was fine.
Yeah, that was fine, but I'm not saying that that will work every time. So this time I actually started to also ramp up my Twitter again.
Oh, you did.
I haven't used Twitter in I don't know how many years, and because it's not Twitter isn't very big here, so I don't really know a lot of people on there, but I kind of have, after releasing the last one, I've actually gone into Twitter, found those communities, have posted in those communities, and kind of now will slowly build up a community there.
I don't understand that part of it at all, because I'm like, why is Twitter now such a part of this whole NFT? Because I agree with you, like, well, I was never into Twitter, let's be honest.
Same.
But now I'm like, why is NFT and Twitter so connected? Like, why didn't these communities grow up anywhere else? Like, even on Instagram or something. Like, I don't understand why Twitter is such an appeal for NFT. Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like versus Twitter versus Instagram for NFT is maybe because on Twitter you can share the links directly to your NFTs.
Oh, okay.
Whereas on Instagram you can just share the picture. Maybe.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that I'd have to do more research on, because I know they're connected, but I don't really understand.
And I've also heard a thing that people say Instagram is much more kind of me, as in showing your art. It's not mm-hmm. so much community based, whereas Twitter is more community based, like with retweets and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like I feel like that the transparency of Twitter kind of does like correlate with the transparency of a blockchain. Like you can, I feel like you would have to go digging for a comment in Instagram where you can just kind of find it more readily on Twitter. Like you can follow those threads a little bit easier, maybe.
Yeah, and you can also retweet much more easily, whereas on Instagram, if you want to repost something, it's not straight, like it's also easy, but it's not as straightforward.
So do you think you'll get more involved in like the Twitter sphere to help as you grow and do more NFTs? I'm assuming you want to do more NFTs.
I do, yes. And I feel like I'll probably have to. I feel a
You'll
bit
have to.
hesitant. I've just got my head around like Facebook, Instagram.
Oh my goodness, I
TikTok.
know.
I'm already spending so much time on social media as it is. I don't
Oh
know
my
if I'm
God, same.
Yeah, it's a lot. Okay, so are you comfortable chit-chatting a little bit more about like we talked about now how it's costing you 150 to mint it? Do you want to talk a little bit about like you sold the first one for, I think you said 0.2 or 2.0, I can't remember, and how much that is in real life? Like, what does that translate to?
Yeah, 0.2. When I sold it, it was I think $650,
Okay.
which then actually 2 days or 3 days later went up to $800. So it was quite good. But now Ether has gone down. So now even though I'm selling the new one for 0.2 Ether as well, it's only worth like 500. Only still a lot of
Still,
money.
yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of so now when I tell people, it's like it's a great time to buy
Right.
it. It's on sale.
Pretty much.
So back to our conversation earlier about like how the two worlds collide. So for example, though, when you sold that first one for 650, so you got the ether, but it was in your crypto wallet. But
Yeah.
then if like that exact day you transferred that into your bank account, you would have had the 650. Is that right? Okay. So you can either leave it, so you can leave it in your crypto wallet and it's going to go up and down, right? But like if today you sold this new one that's currently valued at 0.2 ether,
Yeah.
0.2 ether, which is now $500, and you didn't want to take your chances, but you sold it today, you could make that real paper money in real life for 500. But if you left it in there, it could go up higher.
Yeah. So
Aha.
it's the same gamble as
Yeah.
buy any cryptocurrency. It's kind of fluctuates.
Interesting, interesting.
But then I left it in there because I was kind of like, I'll leave it in there because then if I mint another one, I kind of
Yeah,
use
right.
that.
Yeah, I get it.
That's just gonna be my Ether wallet for a while.
Yeah, and you can just kind of build from there.
Okay, so in terms of like the NFTs you're selling compared to the art you're selling in real life, like how did you determine that 0.2 is a price point you're comfortable at? Is that lower or higher than what you're selling in real life? How did you come to that pricing strategy?
I came to it, I kind of re researched online what most people sell, what most people that do similar arts sell these for.
Okay.
And then I also, again, talked to Raphael, who did the boot camp from Artist Camp. He recommended not to go too low. He basically said that 0.2 is a good middle ground. Like it's on the low end, but it's not, you're not throwing it out. It's too cheap.
Okay.
I guess
So
it's similar to pricing your physical artwork.
well, so that's what I was going to say. So what if somebody is a digital artist and let's say they sell prints of their digital work, but they only sell them for $50 and then they're asking for 500 for an NFT. Is that acceptable? Is that like, are people doing that? Or is it like, well, I sell work in real life for $1,000, so a digital NFT for 500 is reasonable, but it wouldn't go like the other way? Or does that make sense? Like, if you're selling art in real life for less than $500, will people still buy your NFT if it's around $500? I guess is my question.
I think so because it's a different marketplace. It's kind of, yeah, it's hard to compare. Obviously, if you're a real established artist, you won't sell your NFTs for real cheap. Like you'll sell them expensive as well. But if you're just emerging, you kind of yeah, you just set your price, and it can be a lot more than a physical piece of art, or a lot less, whatever you feel comfortable with. I don't think there's hard set rules, or that anyone would, I don't know, think badly of you if you sold your NFT for a lot more than you'd sell your prints. Because again, a print is one of many usually. An NFT is a one-off.
Right.
And yeah, so it makes sense if the NFT is more expensive than a print.
My mind is being boggled and blown throughout this whole conversation.
So here's another question for you. In your experience and through the boot camp and talking to different people, what are collectors who buy NFTs doing with them? Like, are they just keeping them, back to the baseball card analogy, are they keeping them, like, you know, just online? Or are they like, I don't know, like for me, for example, I have, it was very important to me that when I had a TV in my living room, I got, it's called the Samsung Frame, and it lets you display artwork. So when the TV is off, it shows artwork. So it looks like, right? So yeah. Are they using it for that? Like, are they putting digital frames and putting the art in their homes? Or are they just collecting it as a baseball card to say that they have it?
I think it's, again, similar to when people buy art. Some buy it because they just love it and they just want to buy one piece and they just want to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Hang it up, or like some people buy it because they want to resell it, or they want to collect right. and resell. You can now also have NFTs as your Twitter profile picture.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so, I've also heard that Instagram is working on something to integrate NFTs, so that'll be big as well.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I don't know.
So you could like show off your collection, kind of thing. Be like, hey, oh, interesting. Yeah.
So, like, I've seen that, you know, the Bored Apes? The Bored Ape.
Yeah.
So, I've seen people use that as their profile picture. And I think it's kind of, yeah, like it's almost like a status symbol.
Right. Yeah, it's like driving around in your luxury car or whatever, yeah. right? Like, you want people to see it, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
And, again, in the metaverse, you can then hang it up in your house.
Right, in the metaverse, yeah. So, do you hear, does anybody do that in our quote real life now, though? Like, are people putting them on digital screens in their homes, or is that like not something that people are doing?
Not that I've heard of.
Yeah,
I've heard of NFTs being displayed digitally in art shows, so
okay, yeah,
so yeah, I can imagine that people would do that.
Interesting, because I was thinking, like, back to my whole TV situation, I was obsessed with this TV, and like I waited and saved up, and I'm like, I'm getting that TV when I get a new TV, because I like art, duh, obviously, and a big TV taking up space and just sitting there black drives me crazy. And so this Samsung
frame
has like an online art gallery, and you can buy digital art, or you can buy a membership, and then you can have access to different art and display on the TV. Or for me, I can upload like my own images.
Ooh, yeah. La.
Yeah, I know. So I have my own, even if I sell a piece, then I can like hang it in my house because I have the original or whatever. So I'm like, that could be cool if like there was a partnership between like not your crypto wallet, but like, I don't know, your collections of NFTs, and if they were attached to your whatever screen you have in your house, and you could like flip through and like put them on display. I don't know, like I'm not a collector that like puts things in drawers. If I'm a collector, I want to like see my collection. Yeah. So you know, I think that would be, I don't know if that's something that people are doing, but I think it would be cool.
Yeah, I'm the same though. When I buy art, I want to hang it up, like I don't buy it to
even if it's, even if it's both, even if, you know, you start collecting NFTs and you can resell them, it would be cool to enjoy them in the meantime, right?
Yeah. And yeah, true, because if you enjoy them, it's not like a piece of art. If it hangs out, it kind of fades and then you can't sell it for as much. Like an NFT, the colors will always be bright.
Yeah. And the cool thing about like a digital screen is, depending on how you set it up, it could change like every hour. It could change once a day, So then you could, like, maybe every time you came home from work, you had a different one displayed. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
you also wouldn't get bored with your art collection, because it would be, you wouldn't have to have, and I oftentimes people with physical art, and especially like my pieces, I make them, they're quite large. People are like, oh, I don't have wall space, or I'm running out of wall space because of my art collection. It's too big now, or whatever. And yeah, this way, I mean, you could have a massive art collection if they were NFTs, and then you could still enjoy them if you had a different one on your screen every day or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of cool, I think.
And then you could also display it in different sizes. So if you have less space, yeah, you just have a smaller digital frame up.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I reckon Samsung should get on board.
Yeah, I feel like that's the next big collab.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was curious. Like, is anybody doing that? Because I know, again, I think at this point, everybody's, or a lot of people, when they're talking about it, it's like back to the baseball cards, like a collection for sake of collecting and or bragging rights. But I haven't heard a lot of people talk about displaying it. But to me, like, I'm thinking I'm not opposed to investing in them, but if I invest, I want to also enjoy. So
yeah, I would definitely like that.
All right. Well, Jade, do you have any other things that you are like burning on your brain that you want to ask Val?
No, but we should ask what's coming up next for you, Val.
Well, at the moment, there's a big art trail here in Auckland at the moment where we've 80 different artists painted big whale tails.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you've got that where you are, that it's called Wild in Art, where they've got this big animal sculptures that different artists paint.
Yes. I saw on your Instagram that you were working on that. I love that. And it was so funny too, because a theme actually in your artwork, you have like whales in your work, and then you're painting on a whale tail, which is kind of cool.
I know. Happy when I got that call that I've been selected. I was like, oh my god.
Do you have a thing with whales? Like, what does that imagery represent to you?
I'm just fascinated by whales.
Okay.
I can't really pinpoint. Yeah. I just love the way, you know, they move, and they're like, they're such big animals, but they move with such grace. They kind of
That's cool. Yeah. So we're going to go check that out.
So that's on in Auckland until April. So,
okay. We'll put that in the show notes.
I don't know how many listeners you have in Auckland, but.
well, maybe we'll get some more now because,
yes, you will.
You know, you're Insta famous. And so maybe people will want to hear you on the podcast. And what about other NFTs or any other art shows?
Yeah, I do want to release more NFTs. So I'm actually just looking into switching from Ethereum to Polygon, which is that more environmentally friendly blockchain I talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to switch over to them. And they're also apparently much cheaper gas prices.
Which is the minting, correct?
Minting, yes.
Okay. See, I learned something.
Nice. Gold star. yeah, I'll definitely want to release more NFTs as well, and just
amazing,
get more into that world, and also look more into the metaverse and into all these different meta countries. that's even a word.
Awesome. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for trying to help us like wrap our heads around this crazy NFT world. I think you did make it a little bit less intimidating, and knowing like you could do one at a time or whatever, like that's super helpful. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for your patience.
Thank you. I hope I didn't confuse people even more, but
all right, let's talk about what is super cool this week, Jade.
Yeah, me first. Okay, yeah. So something that's super cool this week, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it by the time everybody here listens to this podcast. There is this really neat exhibition happening in Toronto, and I do believe that it is a bit of a traveling exhibition called Nordic Light, and it is an illuminating outdoor winter experience. So it is a, quote, dazzling display of Canadian light art co-produced with Fjord Studio. So it's a bunch of like really neat outdoor art installations that are inspired by different Nordic artists working with Canadians, or some of them working just with themselves. And it's just like really cool light installations. So ooh. I'm gonna go on Sunday with a friend, Sunday night, to check it out.
So where is that? Like, is it in an outdoor space?
Yeah, so it's actually down at Harbourfront Centre in Toronto. And I believe that it goes for quite a while. I think they all go until the 21st of February. So you'll definitely be able to check it out if you are in the city. But yeah, I'm excited to like go do an art thing, and it's going to be safe because it's outside.
Yay! That sounds fun.
Yeah. What about you? What's super cool for you this week?
Oh, I like yours. That sounds fun. I'd love to do something fun.
I wish you were okay. Here.
I know. Anyway, okay, so my super cool is related to our topic. Here's a shocker, guys. Brace yourself. I've never said this before, but I found a really cool podcast. No, so, I mean, I find podcasts such a resource that is so beneficial. And so the one that I found is called NFT for Newbies, or NFTs for Newbies. We'll put the link in the show notes. And it is great because, much like our conversation today, they're like two friends and they're just trying to figure it out as they go along. They did themselves invest in some NFTs, and they created the podcast in really tiny manageable chunks. Like, I think each episode is like 10 minutes. And in each one, they sort of break down, like today, how we talked about like setting up your wallet or what is cryptocurrency. Like, they just sort of take one little bite-sized nugget and break it down. And they're doing it like they just started this podcast, I don't know, a couple months ago. And it's like in real time as they're figuring it out as they go along. So I just thought it would be something to build upon what we talked about here today. And then, again, like as this world, like Valerie was talking about, you know, minting, the price went up and stuff like that. Like, so they are continuing to talk about it as well. So even if you're not ready to like jump right into the NFT space, but you want more and you're going to like want to continue your learning about it until you like are comfortable enough and decide you do want to, or maybe you decide you don't. Anyway, I think it's a good podcast to help you figure that out.
Amazing. Yeah, it's a very strange and new world that is developing very, very quickly. And it feels like simultaneously you want to hop on the train, but you don't want to miss the train, but you also don't understand the train because the train exactly. is somewhere on the internet. Question mark.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's where I'm still at with it. And I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit with Valerie, is like, I was thinking, oh my God, you have to have like a collection. But then after, now she's saying it's costing like 150 at the moment to mint each one. Well, maybe I don't want to have like 12 to launch. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, now I have to. So I do have Procreate on my iPad, and I have dabbled with it in the past a little bit. And I'm like, okay, now I have to become like a digital, but I'm like, oh, maybe you can take photos of your work. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how to participate. And then another one, like, I think I've talked to you before about one of my art world crushes, CJ Hendry. Mm-hmm. And she, it's a very long, interesting backstory, but due to copyright infringement, she had to destroy one of her drawings. And so she made a video of her destroying the work and then sold that as an NFT. So it wasn't the piece of work. It wasn't even a photograph. It was this video of her spray painting over it completely black. And so, you know, there's like, maybe you sell process picture, like for you, right? Like you're even more challenged than me, who makes oil paintings. Like, you make sculptural work. Like, how do you sell photos of the sculptures, or do you sell your process video of you creating the piece? Like, who knows, right? Like, it's sort of so broad that figuring out how to participate in it seems even more overwhelming because of all of that as well, I think.
Full agree.
Yeah. So anyway, back to my whole super cool NFT for Newbies, I think helps break all that down and wrap your head around it. So check that out.
All right. With that, where can everybody find you, Celine?
I'm always online at Celine Gabrielle Art, and my website is CelineGabrielleArt.com. How about you, Jade?
You can find me on my Instagram at Color Worship, and you can always find me on my website, JTusakis.com.
Ooh, and we together are on Instagram at ArtOKCool, and I will take full credit. I've been slacking a little bit on posting over there because of the crazy January that I had, but you watch. The next week, it's going to be back up and popping. So follow us over there.
All right.